give is our King, He is our love, He is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, He is Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Morning, how you guys doing? Oh, come on, how you guys doing? We're having church. So, I'm going to get right to it because we don't have a lot of time. This is the streaming service, so hello to everybody on wherever you're at, whatever you're doing today. Hopefully you guys are having a good day. We also have service here, right? So this morning what I want to do, and even if you're at home, and I think this is hard sometimes when you're at home because there's a lot of distractions, right? But what I want to do before we start is I want to just think about, I want you all of us here, to think about something that's bothering you. Okay, it might be little, it might be, you know, a bill you forgot to pay, it might be something else. I don't know what that was either. There was a weird sound back there. That was strange. but whatever it is, I just want you to think about what's bothering you right now. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to take that burden. And then at the end of today's service, we're going to worship. And I want to actively give our burdens over to Him. Because if we continually do that, then guess what? The enemy has nothing to weigh you down with. And when you hold on to burdens, however, the enemy uses that to pull us down. It's just added weight, and we don't need it. And so today, I'm going to talk to you about freedom, true freedom, what it really means from a biblical standpoint. And we're going to actually act it out as well. So let's pray this. Father, I pray, Lord, that you take our hearts first. And I pray that you take our minds as well. And Lord, whatever it is that's keeping us from experiencing your full and true love, whatever it is, Lord, I pray, God, right now that you give us the strength to let go of that, or to at least think of it right now, and to let go of it today, just to let go of that thing. And I pray for freedom in this place, Lord. I pray for freedom, I pray for grace, I pray for mercy, and I pray for your Holy Spirit to be strong. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you guys are done watching the news? Goodness. I think the news is systemically dishonest, isn't it? The media, the information. That's not where I'm going to start. That's actually in my notes, but it's further down the line. So let's start here with Matthew 22:35. I read this scripture a lot. But it's a little bit of a different application this morning. So it says, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Okay, so I was thinking about this scripture, as I've done a lot, because I really believe this is a philosophy of life. If you have a problem like me remembering all of the scriptures and all of the unspoken church type rules, then you're just like me. There's a lot of pressures that I think that we feel that aren't even real. They're not even true. They're only happening in our minds, right? What will people think? What if people know who I really am, right? I think God knew that he had to really, really narrow it down for me and make it very simple for me if I was going to do this long term. And the simple thing that he did for me was he reminded me of the two most important things on this earth, and it's really just one, is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The thing is, if you love God, if you fall in love with God, and that's what your mechanism is, that's what your mechanism for change is, if you do that, then you will also love others, right? And you will also do what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be. But I was thinking about this scripture, and I had a thought, a random thought. I thought, you know what, love as a commandment, at first it seems kind of hypocritical, doesn't it? Think about this for a second. God says, I command you to love me. How many of you guys are married? How many of you guys know that don't work, right? With humans, it just doesn't work. Hey, I command you to love me. We just turn off from that. So I was like, man, this seems so hypocritical. Why would God, is God insecure? Like, why would God tell us that we have to love him? Why would he command us to love him? And the only conclusion that I could come to, and it's kind of a big conclusion, is that loving God, the act of loving God, the act of actually truly loving God is actually the mechanism for change in our lives. It's going to cause us to be the people that we're supposed to be. Right? That's why he would command us to do that. That's why he would tell us this is the most important thing, is for us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Because if we do that, it'll change us, and not change us into something that we were never supposed to be, but it'll change us into the person that we were always called to be. The original you, the OG you. You know what I'm saying? That's what God has called us to do. That's who God has called us to be. How do you love somebody? Pay attention. You talk, you listen, you serve them. It's no different with God. How do you love God? First, you pay attention to him. You pay attention. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of voices out there that are fighting for our attention. We have the opportunity to tell those voices no and to listen to God instead, right? And then how often do we sit and pray? How often do we sit down and actually pray and actually connect with God? How often do we ask God to speak to us? How many of us are, if we're honest, we say we're afraid. I don't know if I want God to speak to me because he might change a part of my life that I don't want changed, right? How many of you guys have been there? I'm going to read another scripture that I've read many, 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 many times. Romans 12:1-2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. That word transformed is the same word that we get from metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar. Have you ever seen a worm, a little caterpillar crawling on the ground? It's when that becomes a beautiful flying thing, a butterfly, right? And say, I think some of the women in here probably think, man, that'd be cool to be a butterfly. But for guys, I think the analogy is that it turns the worm into the Mandalorian and you can fly around, right? Anybody? Zero Star Wars fans. Okay, I'll do that third service. I'm going to skip it next one. You guys don't have Disney Plus subscriptions out here? None of that? All right, fair enough. But the idea is that it changes us, that the mechanism of loving God actually changes us, and it works. And if you are struggling with that idea of loving God, I have advice for you, because I have been there. It doesn't come naturally for me. I'm not a real touchy-feely kind of guy. I'm not a very, like for me, I had to teach myself to, like, give my family hugs. Like, that's me. Like, I'm just not that. I'm not a real lovey-dovey, talk to you nice kind of guy. I'm more of a, this is what it is, and let's deal with it, right? And so I had this time in my life where I felt like I just had no feeling for God, no passion for God. And so you know what I did? I asked God, and this seems weird too, but I asked him to put love in my heart for him. And you know what he did? He changed me. And that love has given me the correct perspective on life. Without that, I wouldn't have the right perspective. I just wouldn't. I'm going to share with you guys three. We're talking about freedom today. And I want to share with you guys three forms of bondage that we go through. Some of you guys are wondering, like, why do I need to hear this message about loving God? Well, I'm going to explain to you why. Because the enemy wants to bind us, and he wants to keep us from knowing the truth. He wants to keep us from becoming the person that we're supposed to be. And so I'm going to share with you guys three forms of bondage that he regularly uses. There are more, but this is just three examples. The first one, go ahead and show that slide. Expectations from others. Fear of being judged. How many of us, we have, a voice in our head, and that voice has an actual face and a name, and maybe that person's not actually saying it, but you know what they would say. or you think that you know what they would say. Maybe it's a parent that's deceased. Maybe it's a parent that's still around. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it is a stranger. Maybe it's completely made up. But either way, we have this pressure where we feel like we need to be a certain person because everyone expects something of us. Now, I'm coming to you guys as somebody who has dealt with this on a level that's next level, right? Growing up as a pastor's kid, I have stressed so much about how people see me in public. I'm like, I just don't want them to know the real me. But it turns out, you know, I'm not that bad of a guy. You know, my wife is like, you're fine, honey, you're fine, just relax. But I have this like social anxiety, you know, and I always think, what are they thinking? I have to fight that. But that's a form of bondage, expectation of others. The second one, and go ahead and leave the slides up as I go. The second one is loss of hope. By the way, the back room, the video room, does amazing. Let's give them a hand. They never get any credit. They work really, really hard every single week, and they're amazing. Sandy, we love you. All right, so loss of hope. She's probably yelling back there at me right now. Loss of hope. This is a big one, okay? This is very broad, but I put under, in the parentheses, expectations of others, okay? Because sometimes we have expectations of the people in our lives. We have expectations of people that we think that they ought to always come through for us, right? And when we have these expectations on them instead of God, that's a problem. Or maybe the expectations are on yourself. Maybe you think, I know that I should do better. I'm very disappointed in myself. And when we ourselves continually let ourselves down, that causes us to lose hope eventually, not in the world around us, but in ourselves. If you don't have any hope in yourself, then that's a problem, right? But you have to understand that God created you and he gave you power and he gave you the abilities to be so much more. He gave you this thing that looks like a mountain in front of you is a molehill. It's not even a speed bump in God's eyes, right? Some of us have put our hope in a system. As we know, systems are not foolproof. They have issues because they were created by man, right? So these things can keep us in bondage. The last one is bad habits. Now, I like to reduce sin down to bad habits because it seems much easier to manage, doesn't it? And I know that there are times where we are so in bondage to sin that it seems like it's much more than just a bad habit. But the word repent means simply to turn around and go the other direction, right? And so the way I see it is if we slowly walked into sin, no matter how far we've walked, you can always stop and walk right back out. You have the choice. You have the choice. You can change your habits. And the way that you change your habits is you replace bad ones with good ones. And that ends up changing your heart. Again, like I said before, if you want to change your heart, ask God to put more love in your heart for him. And then ask him for habits, good habits. God, what should I do every single day to change? What should I do? Maybe it's sitting down in a chair and just telling God that you love him for 30 seconds a day. That seems so nominal and it seems silly, right? When Naaman was sick, he went to the prophet and the prophet told him to dip in the Jordan 7 times. That seemed very nominal to him. He was out there and he was from another land and they had rivers where he came from, but he came out to this holy land and he dipped in the Jordan 7 times that he'd be healed. He probably on the 5th time, he's like, this is ridiculous. On the 6th time, this is ridiculous. On the 7th time, he came up and he was completely healed. God uses nominal things to change our hearts. God uses nominal things to show us that he's in charge. God uses nominal things, little things, so much more than we can imagine. Little habits make such a big difference, such a big difference. And a lot of times it's just a test of our heart. God, it's silly for me to wake up 10 minutes earlier and pray. It's silly. I don't need to do that. I can do it in my car, right? But you know how that goes. You're in traffic. Dear Lord, I love, bam, bam, bam. Hey, come on, you know? Like it's distraction. It's distraction. The enemy's favorite game is distraction. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free." For freedom. You know what that word means in the Greek? Freedom. It just means freedom, that's it. It just means free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. If Christ has freed us, why on earth would we walk back to our shackles and chains and try to put them back on? Why would we do that when Jesus did what he did for us? This scripture goes on. I'm going to skip the next verse. The scripture goes on. Galatians 5:16 through 17. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you doing the things that you want to do." Your own body, your own mind, your own desires are part of the problem. There's something weird inside of us that wants to go back to slavery. There's a self-destructive side to us, isn't there? You guys know what I'm talking about? For me, it used to pop up its head more often. Now it's less often, but it's like we feel sorry for ourselves or something. I don't know what it is, but it's something inside of us. There's some sort of a mechanism. But God shows us that the Holy Spirit is the way to change that, right? The Holy Spirit is the way to change it. I'm going to skip all the way down. We're going to worship in a little bit because we need to do that. I'm going to skip down to the next slides. I'm going to give you guys three true things, ways to reset your mind, to be people who can live free. The first one, this is the next slide. Reliance on the great gift of the Holy Spirit. Like I just said, the Holy Spirit is a gift. But how many of you guys are relying on him? How many of us are using this gift, this free gift? And Jesus didn't give us the Holy Spirit. He didn't impart the Holy Spirit upon the church because we might need him someday. He imparted the Holy Spirit on the church because he knew we would need him. Because when times get tough and the whole world is against you and then you're against yourself, what are you going to do without this free, amazing gift of the Holy Spirit? He is our helper. He is there to be called upon. And when you call upon him, believe that he's going to help you. The next one is belief in the radical restoration of our whole selves in Jesus Christ. Do you guys believe that Jesus died on the cross to take not only our sins from us, not only give us a free ticket to heaven, but to radically restore us and change us and make us into the person that he's called us to be? Do you really believe that? Because that's what the cross is. That's what the gift of salvation is. He can change us. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter that half the country is burning down. What matters is that we have a God who is good and he loves us, right? The next one is reinforcement of faith through serving in fellowship. We wonder sometimes why, some of you wonder why we encourage people to serve here. It's not because we just need help. We do need help. That's part of it. But we encourage people to serve because we know that that's also a way for us to transform our lives. When you start to learn what it means to serve God, and you start doing that with other like-minded believers, it changes you. Yesterday morning, some friends and I got together and we served together and we went out on the streets. It was so good. It felt so right. And yes, we ministered to other people, but it was like a bonding experience for us. It's so good. It really, really, really is. There's a scripture that I skipped. I want to go back to that. Philippians 3:20 through 21. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will transform our lowly body to be like that of his glorious body, but by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I wanted to talk about that in lieu of the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. Let me just read it. I'm going to really mess that up. I didn't do well in eighth grade. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I like those words, and I agree with those words. All men are created equal, but they're created equal by their Creator, right? I had this thought that when I travel to another country, right, I am still a citizen of the United States. But when I am on another country's soil, I have to adhere to their laws, right? I may be a citizen of the United States, but I have to adhere to their laws. If I break their laws, I'm in trouble there. The U.S. will protect me to a certain point, but I have to do what I have to do there. But no matter where I go, and no matter what I do, and no matter what happens in my country, I am a citizen of heaven. And that idea is really radical if you think about it. It's really insane when you think about it. That idea that we are eternal beings and that we're going to live with God forever and ever and ever and ever should put us at ease. That should put us at ease when we look at the here and now. I like the Declaration of Independence. I love our country. I really do. I'm a patriotic person, but I do not rely on the system that is called the United States of America. I rely on a God who loves me and who loves you. And politically, things are weird right now, but you know what? In the end, what matters to me is that God is moving in his people, in and with his people, and he is. And he's going to use whatever happens. He's going to use it for his glory. That's what God does. That's the business that he's in. I want to look real quick. I'm going to have John Ranger come out, and we're going to end with a song here in a minute. But I want to look one more time at those examples of bondage, and I want you to see something. Okay, first is expectations from others, right? The second is loss of hope. And the third is bad habits and sin. All three of those things, and I did this on purpose, all three of those things have one thing in common. You have the ability to change that. You have the ability to walk away. Your chains and your shackles, everything that keeps you down, it's already been broken. It's already been broken by the blood of Jesus Christ, and all you have to do is walk out of it. So if that's you today, please consider laying your burdens down. Consider walking away, because life is a lot easier. It's hard enough as it is. It's a lot easier when you're not carrying a lot of baggage and a lot of weight. Now, if this message wasn't for you, maybe it's for somebody else. Maybe there's somebody else in your life that is holding on to something, some baggage. Maybe they're hurting. I want to encourage you to call them and pray for them today. Ask them if they need anything. Be with them, you know? Let's be the church together. So, John, go ahead and come out. They're coming right now. And I'm going to pray this. I'm going to ask that God would just fill our hearts as we let go. As you let go of the thing that's in your heart, that's in your mind, that God would fill it up. All right, let's pray that. Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you do. And Father, I pray right now that you take our hearts, you take our minds, Lord, and I pray that you take our burdens. I pray for freedom over this church. I pray for freedom over the people. I pray, God, that you would just move in this city, Lord. I pray, God, that you touch people's lives, Lord. There's some that are feeling down and out, and they're not feeling like they're part of who you have called them to be, but they are, God. And I pray, Lord, that they would know that change happens as we give ourselves over to you. And I pray that we would do that this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661 325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.